the people, the landmarks, the rich history. Join Coin6 as we explore all things local. This is Where We Live with Ken Boddy.
Pal Bookstore, Voodoo Donuts, and Darcelle's. That's what you do when you come to Portland.
Hello, and welcome to this special episode of the Where We Live podcast. I am Ian Costello, and the voice you usually associate with Where We Live, Ken Boddy, is here with me. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, and how are you, Ian?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for spending some of your time with me this morning. We want to talk about Where We Live when we want to talk about Darcelle, and a lot of your Where We Live stories are about buildings or statues or businesses. What's different when you do one about a person like you did here?
What's different is that they are personalities. They are people that Portlanders and Oregonians know and don't have a whole lot of background on unless they've done the research themselves. Anybody who moves to Portland, one of the first things they hear in terms of people of Portland is the name Darcelle. So to be able to sit down with Darcelle, whose real name is Walter Cole, and just talk about how he got to be who he is, it's fascinating. So that's almost like being a landmark or an icon. It's not a building or a street, but it's a person who has come to embody part of what we know about the city of Portland.
You talk about one of the first things people hear when they move here or come here is Darcelle. When did you first hear that name?
When I first moved here, which was in 1982. And one of the things that makes Darcelle unique, even before I really got to know Walter, was just the fact that he was a drag queen and a performer in that arena before it was really popular for that to be the case. I mean, now drag queens are not that unusual, and shows involving drag queens, drag reviews are not that unusual. But when Darcelle started doing it, it was. And in the city of Portland, that was a bold move to actually go into that arena as a performer and to create a show, to have a venue, and to become part of the city's fabric.
Tell me a little bit about the show that's coming to Portland State.
It's called That's Snow Lady, That's Darcelle. And what that show is a story about Darcelle's life and how he came from, he was in the military when he was younger. He had a wife and two kids. He lived a very straight life before he decided to make that transition into the Darcelle that we know him as today. And there was a lot of struggle and heartache to that story. And I think that people will be able to see that when they see this performance.
Who are we going to be hearing from in this interview?
We will be hearing from Don Horn, who is the executive director at Triangle Productions. They do a lot of great shows in local theater here. And he's also the executive producer of the musical, That's No Lady, That's Darcelle. So it was nice to be able to sit down with both of them because they are great friends and they are great collaborators as well, which you'll see when the performances happen.
Well, we're sitting here with Walter Cole, Darcelle 15, as well as Don Horn, who's the executive producer here, executive director rather, here at Triangle Productions. Yeah, there is a difference. Yes, I know. But we want to talk about the production that is in production right now, the musical, as well as Darcelle to you about just your history. So let's start with that. How did Darcelle become Darcelle, and when did that happen?
I was in local theater, and I had cafe espresso, and I bought an ice cream parlor, and finally I bought a tavern in what was then Skid Row. And we had our clientele because none of my gay friends would go across Burnside. So I hired a lesbian bartender. So we were a lesbian bar for 3 years, and thank God they kept me open, bless their hearts. And in order to have a calmer room, Roxy and I and Tina Sandell started the show on a 4x8 banquet table in the corner of the room with a slide projector and a home stereo, slide projector for the light. People don't even know what they are, but they used to be.
Yeah.
And it happened, and we were doing it nightly. Susan Stanley, Willamette Week reporter, came in and saw the show and said, "This best kept secret in Portland," and the doors opened. And since then, it's now a coordination worldwide. Known because of the social media.
Absolutely. And you actually were honored by the Guinness Book of World Records for being the oldest performing drag queen. How do you feel about that?
Yes, and I don't mind putting my hand up and saying thank you very much. I got two trips to New York out of that, and to be in some productions in New York. And no, I'm very honored with that too also. And a friend of mine, you have to apply. And he had to send, and the governor wrote a letter, and the mayor wrote a letter that, yes, Darcel's working all the time. And the show is, besides friends.
Why Darcel 15? What's the 15 significance?
In 1973, I was elected the 15th Empress of Portland. We now have 60. It was an organization, the royalty, prince and princess and all that sort of thing. And we raised thousands of dollars for during the epidemic of AIDS and helped our friends. Still, we're doing now almost all of our efforts are to scholarships.
Back here in the studio with Ken Boddy. Walter, Darcel's been performing in Old Town, downtown Portland since the late 1960s.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit in your thoughts about the Portland then and how different it was compared to the Portland we live in today.
Acceptance was very different back then. It was tough. He was in his mid-30s when he came out. And back then, that was a very, very difficult thing to do. And to not only accept that within yourself, but to say, hey, this is how I am. I'm a drag queen. I'm gay. And I'm going to come out and be who I am. It was tough for a lot of Portlanders to accept that back in the day. In fact, when he first started Darcel 15, the club, it was called something else back then. But when they started their drag review, they dressed in drag in the club only. They didn't come out on the street because of the harassment and sometimes physical danger that they would face by being dressed as drag queens and being out on the streets of Portland. You do that today, it's no big deal. And Darcel has become part of the community as well. And I think one of the smart things that Walter did when he did come out was become very involved in the civic life of Portland by supporting fundraisers, by being a performer when people were trying to raise money for good causes. He made that a strategy in order to enhance that acceptance.
There was a time, especially when you started, where being a drag queen was almost underground. You know, it was something that
was underground,
necessarily accepted by people.
Yes, no. We didn't walk out. We were cloistered in the club. I mean, we were closeted in the club. We didn't go out on the street and drag. Now you can walk anywhere in Portland, and though that must be Darcel. It isn't usually, but just because they're in drag.
And how did that transformation happen for you to become basically mainstream now? You're mainstream.
Because whenever I was asked to do a fundraiser, if my name would sell a ticket, I would do it. And I've done them all, the smoke out for the March of Dimes and Heart Association. I've done all of those. In fact, I've worked steadily with the American Business Women's Association locally and until we raised $1 million, and then they stopped doing them.
So at
that
this
made me accepted by, you know, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And now that you're so much a part of Portland, you know, when people talk about prominent individuals in Portland, Darcell's
name. Bookstore, Voodoo Donuts, and Darcell's. That's what you do when you come to Portland.
That's got to make you feel proud as well.
Proud, very proud. And humble.
So, Darcell, Walter, they've had a hell of an impact on Portland, the culture of Portland. Tell me a little bit about the show that's coming to Portland State.
It will be performed at Lincoln Hall. It's called That's Snow Lady, That's Darcell. And what that show is a story about Darcell's life and how he came from, you know, he was in the military when he was younger. He had a wife and two kids. He lived a very straight life before he decided to make that transition into the Darcell that we know him as today. And there was a lot of struggle and heartache to that story. And I think that people will be able to see that when they see this performance that has its 10-day run at Lincoln Hall. Kevin Loomis, who is originally an Oregon native and subsequently became a well-known actor in New York, is coming back home to play the role of Darcell. And they've been working on this show for a long time. And Walter Cole has been very involved in creating this musical as well. It's being done by Don Horn, who is the executive at Triangle Productions. He's the executive producer for this show. And he's also writing a book about Darcell. They've been friends for more than 30 years now. So this friendship has come full circle, and the people of Portland will see how Darcell has come full circle as well.
When you think about the fact that Don here is going to be doing a musical about you, what is that like for you to know that there will be an actor playing you?
Cher has a musical about her. Tina has a musical about her. It's about time. No, that isn't what I really mean. What I mean is that I'm very happy for it. Extremely. And some of the nicest people in Portland are the most talented at writing songs for. So it's another wonderful thing.
Don, why did you come up with the idea to do this musical?
Well, actually, I wrote a musical about Gracie Hanson. And I interviewed Darcell as well as Roxy's partner about Gracie Hanson. And 2 years ago when I was on stage, we were doing a play down at Darcell's. And I looked over and I thought, how come nobody's ever talked about him in a musical form or a play form? He did a one-man show, but not a full musical. And I thought, why not? Let's try this. And I've been with him 2.5 years every Wednesday, going through documents and photos and stories and stories and stories. And after a while, I thought, we can do this. We can make a musical out of it. And it feels right. It feels
right. I'm excited. Tickets are already selling, by the way. Hurry up.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot show. There's no doubt about
it. Well, and I also am very grateful that Tom Grant, you know, and Marvin Randy Ross and Storm Large all said yes. They all know him and they know me. And so to calling friends up and saying, we have somebody here we want to honor, but at the same time, we have people that are talented to do that. And who all stepped forward and said, let's do it. So I'm really, really grateful for that.
When you came up with the name Darcell, what were you thinking? What was Darcell?
No, I didn't come up with the name. I had no name for a long, long time, and it was just like Madame Demas. Demas was the name of the bar of the tavern then, or Madame or something, anything. So finally, my partner Roxy, who was with me for 50 years, suggested that I have a name. And we were drinking beer in the corner one time. And he said, you cannot be Alice or Mary. You're too big. You're too overdressed. Your hair is too tall and too many jewels. You can't be somebody next door. So he worked in Vegas with an actress and movie star named Denise Darcel from Paris. And that's it. And we added an L and that stuck. And I had a privilege of meeting her in Seattle. She was in Legends and traveling. And my friend Maxine Andrews called me and said, well, there's names you'll never know. called me and said, we're in Seattle, come by. So we went and saw the show. And then we parted afterwards. And it was wonderful to meet her. Yeah. She was very happy that I was a drag queen with her name.
You're very much known for your outfits, the makeup, the outfits, the jewelry. How did you create that image for yourself?
Well, first of all, when we started in 1967, we had nothing, of course. And you couldn't buy glitter fabric then. Everything was, you know, washable cottons and polyester. But so we had to have something. So I made a costume every week. And then I got into beading and jewel rhinestoning and that sort of thing. And that's how it happened. And now I have at least 1,500 pieces of wardrobe because I do the production numbers too. And that means six of everything or seven of everything.
All right. So most of what you wear, you've actually created yourself.
I made and decorated. Yes.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, but it's my bit away. I have a sewing room in my home in the basement. I go down there and I work, and it's fun.
Ken, I'll go over there and he'll say, I bought this fabric, and the day later he's got a dress made. I mean, it's done.
Well, now you can buy the fabric. Yeah. It's wonderfully gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. But some of the costumes actually is hand beaded, and some what took 3 months to make.
That one, but we'll talk about them, I'm sure.
yeah, we'll actually get you talking about some of the outfits here and their significance.
3 months of sitting there beading and stuff like that. That seems like I would say get the dress made, let's get going.
They're bugle beads, and they're only about a half an inch or maybe three quarters inch long. Mm-hmm. So you had to sew each one of them on.
Mm-hmm. Patience, I don't have.
Yeah, one needs to be looking gorgeous.
Absolutely. Well, you're also a pioneer in the sense that now, as we were saying, you're mainstream, but a number of other drag queens are mainstream. Absolutely. In Portland. Absolutely. As well. You Absolutely. Know, I've worked with Poison Waters.
Oh, yes, she's in our show when she's not doing an outside gig. We've been dear friends for 30 some years. And I adore her. That's her job, is to be a female impersonator and go to private parties and things. During the Pride Month, this month, it's been wonderful for all both of us.
And I guess the continuation of that question is, do you feel like these are almost kind of like your offspring in terms of image and being able to make a career being a drag queen?
I opened the door to make it work for everyone, and it's worked now. And some good, some bad, but mostly very good, nice people and doing their thing. I'm very proud that I was a part of the beginning that made it work for Portland.
And Ken, the thing is, his club is the oldest and continuous running female impersonation club, mm-hmm. cabaret in America. So when you figure 52 years being in the same location, doing the same thing, is amazing.
Well, sometimes it feels like the same thing. We do change a little bit.
No. But I'm saying that
I know what you're saying. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Now, you two obviously have a connection, a bond. How did that develop?
Ooh.
You've been friends for a long time.
Yeah. Almost 30 years.
Yeah, I don't remember the first time.
I do. I called you up and I said I wrote a play about Divine and I want to meet with you. Mm-hmm. And he said, come on over to the house And I went over there and I rang the doorbell and nobody answered the door. And I thought, well, he stood me up. Then I heard sawing in the backyard and I went to the backyard and I knocked on the gate. You said, come on. So I went in, there you were with nails and rhinestone glasses with a hat, sweats, sawing wood. And I thought, what did I get myself into?
Making sets.
Making sets, yeah.
For a fam, yeah.
And we became friends ever since.
And I did Divine. On Sundays for
10 weeks.
10 weeks.
Yeah. Out of drag.
Out of drag. And I did my one-man show Out of Drag because if when I was telling my life story, I it wasn't a joke. And I feel like Darcel is supposed to be up and running. And when I never do any public appearances where I do speaking with as Darcel.
How long do you expect to continue to be performing?
I'm only 88 years old. Now give me a break. I got lots of time left. every time someone comes in, I was here 31 years ago. I was here 41 years ago. And so I heard you're going to retire. I'm not going to retire. Yeah. I'll have enough sense to know when I can't do it anymore, and I would, you know, take a step back. But I'm certainly not stopping when I'm still able to do what I do.
I get calls also for the musical, and people say I was there. Or my grandmother took me on, you know, when I was getting married, or my birthday, my 21st birthday, and they talk about that. He's been an institution.
We get a lot of bachelorettes, hundreds of bachelorettes in the season. And then they come back later. Been married 21 years. Are you still married to the same man? Yeah, well, see, it takes when you have your party here.
Yes, absolutely. Your partner, tell us about your partner.
Roxy LeRoy was in the show. He was in the Hoyt Hotel, worked with Gracie Hansen at the Hoyt Hotel. He came up from Vegas. He worked in Vegas and all the big shows down there. They hired him to be a dancer at the Hoyt, male dancer at the Hoyt. And they closed, and we met, and it worked, and we were together even when I was doing the show, and he was choreographing our show even when he was still working at Hoyt Hotel. And so when he retired or got fired or closed up the hotel, I said, well, come be a waiter. We only serve beer and wine. He couldn't get it figured out what it's going to serve. Bless his heart, but you're drawing the show. And he was a star of the show.
One of the remarkable thing about Rock, he would roller skate.
On 4x8.
On the 4x8 table. And then he would actually do the split and then go on his head and stand on his head in roller skates.
With the skates.
That was amazing to me. We have video of it. We're going to do that in the musical. We're going to show part of that in the musical.
Oh. And I'm doing the standing on the head.
No. Oh, all right. Now that'll be good. That'll be worth coming to see.
I got it. Wow.
Well, just to wrap it up, what do you expect this musical to turn out to be?
Well, when I wrote it, I wanted to tell people its history. But I also want to share some time with my friend and let people know that what you do for a living isn't, you know, something you have to do. It's what you love to do. That's what you should be doing.
I love to do.
And he loves to do it. I love doing theater. He loves doing, you know, being the cabaret star down at Darcel's. I think when people walk out, I want people to go, that was a life well lived. It's not a life that was thrown away. He has always said to me, do what you really love to do. And I really believe that he's done that. He's loved to do all the way through.
And I have a very supportive family. I have two children, two grandchildren, and a great-granddaughter now. And it's, they're very proud of Darcel. They're very, very, and they've already got their free tickets to see the musical. But I'm very lucky because a lot of gay men are losing their families. Yeah. And mine just got tighter and a lot more love.
Very good. I think we've got it.
Ken, what do you think Darcel's impact has been on the minority or marginalized communities in Portland?
I think it's been tremendous. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier about Darcell struggling for acceptance when he first came out and started his drag review. I think that it opened up people's minds to a lot of possibilities that people could be contributors to the Portland community, even though they might not fit your idea of what quote unquote normal is. It has enhanced the normalcy of gay people, drag queens, just people who are outside of the mainstream, and making them somewhat mainstream by being so much a part of the community. So I think that Darcell's strategy, Walter Cole's strategy of, I am part of this community and I'm gonna make a statement and make it a point to be a part of this community and do whatever I can to help other causes. I think that that has really changed Portland. He's had a lot in changing mindsets in Portland. And I think that's a great thing.
Thank you very much for your time, Ken.
Thank you.
Remember, you can catch That's No Lady, That's Darcell at Lincoln Hall on the Portland State University campus, September 19th through October 5th. For ticket information, head to coin.com.
Thank you for listening to this presentation from the Coin Podcast Network. Here's another podcast you might want to check out right now.
Hi, I'm Coin 6 morning meteorologist Kelly Bayern. Weather plays a huge part in everything everyone does every day. That's why the Coin digital team has launched a Your Weather podcast. Every other week, you can hear me and my special guests talk about how the weather in our area changes day to day, season to season, and year to year, and what it means for anyone who likes or needs to spend time outside. Check it out on coin.com under the podcast tab, or go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify and search Coin. If you like it, subscribe, rate, and review. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Thank you for listening to this presentation from the Coin Podcast Network. To hear more great podcasts, head to coin.com, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.